So we've been looking at this letter together that is addressed to under pressure Christians, under pressure from the world, from opposition. And we've seen so far that Peter encourages us that we are people of hope. We've got a great, glorious hope to sustain us every day. And then that therefore this should lead us to be a holy people, set apart from the world and devoted to God, holy as he is holy. Well, in this next section of the letter that we look at tonight, Peter says we're to be people of the word, people of God's word, people who love, who learn, and who live by God's word. If you just look at the section that we've heard, you'll see that the focus is on the word of God and the powerful work that it does in our lives. In verse 22, speaking about when we've become Christians, we have obeyed the truth. And then verse 23, the great change that the word of God has worked in us. We are born again through the word of God. And then in verse 25, there's this testimony from Isaiah to the enduring nature of God's word. God's word endures forever. And then the command that we're to respond and live out and grow as Christians in verse 2 is that we should desire the pure milk of the word. So we're to be people of the word, people who love, learn, live by God's word. The word that's given to us, of course, in the Holy Scriptures. And one of the things that, if we try to sum up what this passage says simply, it's that we live by believing and keeping God's word. It's God's word that gives us life, true spiritual life. It's God's word that sustains that life in us. And so how we need God's word. Well, the first thing is Peter reminds us of the power of God's word. If you look at me first at verse 23. So amazing thought, brothers and sisters, that you and I have been given new life through the power of God's word. We've been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God. So this, of course, is a picture for the word of God we've seen just recently in Matthew's gospel in the parable of the sower, that the word of God is compared to a seed. And so just as a farmer plants a seed in the ground and seemingly it's like it's dead, it's something small, but then it bursts open and out of a tiny seed there's this explosion of new life that can push its way up through the dirt and out of the ground. And then in time as it grows, there's a flower or there's a crop, there's fruit, there's colours, there's smells. There's this incredibly powerful new life that comes from this seed planted within. And it's amazing to think that is what God has done and is doing in our lives. Into, if you like, the dead soul of our fallen sinful natures. God's word has come. The truth of God has come. And when it finds a resting place in our hearts and it's planted within us, it's now bursting through all that dead sin that's within us. And we're being transformed. And we are growing and we're full of new life, of faith, love, hope, ultimately glory. And our very nature, you could say, our predispositions, the leanings of our hearts are being changed by the power of this word within us. And I think that's really what's being emphasized to us in this picture. The amazing power of God's word working within our lives. So what a massive encouragement. Because I'm sure, like me, you look at yourself so often, look at yourself in a spiritual mirror and want to despair over how sinful you are, how sometimes the ordinary things of the Christian life, prayer and reading the scriptures, don't come the way that you want them to come. They're hard work and you fall short and you think, there's nothing good in me. But there is, thanks to this precious seed of new life that's come in through the entrance of the truth, the light of God. And it's so potent and it's so powerful, brothers and sisters. It's growing in you and it's going to continue to grow. It is incorruptible. Do you remember that's a word we heard earlier speaking about the nature of heaven? Imperishable, incorruptible, undefiled. There's something heavenly within you and me. And what's corruptible is passing away and fading away. But this incorruptible new life is going to be there forever. So there's so much encouragement in this. And it's this power of God's word that's in us. It's God's word that changes people's hearts. Through his word, when it's taught, preached, proclaimed. God saves sinners from hell through this powerful word. And again, we can probably all remember specific moments in our lives where the scriptures came to us powerfully. The gospel preached suddenly struck us. And we were changed. Now that power, of course, is supplied by the Holy Spirit. As it says in verse 22, it is through the Spirit. So we don't believe that there's something magical about the words on the page. We don't believe in some kind of superstitious way that if you just say the words like an incantation or chant, that somehow that does it. We do believe that there's a supernatural work. But it is the work of the Holy Spirit. With the word, through the word. His divine energy operating, using the word as his instrument. A direct divine work of grace. Like a doctor might use a scalpel, or I guess a great musician might play on a piano. So the Holy Spirit uses scripture. The scripture he's inspired. The scripture he's preserved. The scripture he's still speaking through constantly. And uses that as his mighty instrument. And so this is the power. It's the sword of the Spirit. And so the Spirit gives us new life. Illuminating our minds, convicting us, teaching us. So of course the great encouragement to us as we think about the ministry of the church is we want to look to this powerful ministry of the word to see the church grow and souls saved. To me, I made up my mind a long time ago when I was really trying to wrestle with ministry and what it's about and should I be called to do it. I was in America at the time, and certainly in America there was a great deal of pressure for churches to be seeking out ever new methods or attractions or entertaining ways to draw people in. Because the question was always, how do we reach people? How do we see people changed? And I came to realize what really matters is you want a genuine work. It's not how big something appears or how popular something appears. You want a genuine work of God. And the true work of God is by his word and spirit. And all those other things are distractions and obstacles, actually. That from time to time there needs to be a reformation that clears out traditions and man-made things. So we come back to this wonderful simplicity of the word of God. And I want to again encourage you that this powerful word that's living in you and me, it might not look very exciting sometimes coming on a Lord's Day. Perhaps there's many sermons that you don't remember. I gather last Sunday evening was rather hot and stuffy and folks may have fallen asleep. But year by year, as we're listening to God's word, he is doing this powerful, genuine work of sanctifying us, of saving us. It's a glorious thing. So we must never be discouraged, but keep looking to this powerful word. And thank God that through his word, we're being made into new creations. Well, then the second thing that Peter then points us to is the permanence of God's word. Not only its power, but its permanence. It's incorruptible. It doesn't grow old. It doesn't change. It doesn't decay. But listen to this. It lives. And it abides. It is God's word. And so it doesn't change, but is ever new. And then to reinforce that to us, Peter gives us scripture's own testimony about itself. He quotes from Isaiah 40. All flesh is as grass, the glory of man like the flower of the grass. So all the power, wealth, splendor of this world is really as fragile and as temporary as the grass that grows up in the summer and then is cut down as hay in the autumn. Or I gather that in Israel, with its climate, there's a kind of grass that can spring up with the morning dew, but then when the hot sun rises by the middle of the day, it's withered away to nothing. So even as quick as that, that's what the treasures of this world are like. They're just vanity. But then there's a wonderful contrast. God's word is forever. Forever. So when all the kingdoms and crowns, buildings, when our very bodies, everything has turned to dust and is blown away, God's word abides as true and as powerful as ever. And again, I think that's so comforting. It's so comforting to the saints that Peter's first originally writing to. They lived in a time when the Roman emperors would boast about the empire lasting 1,000 years, when they would issue proclamations as if they were gods and say their kingdoms and their names will last forever and ever. And a time when violent and greedy, powerful people were acting and trampling on others as if the treasures of this world were all that mattered. And when life was short and dangerous for many Christians, pilgrims in a hostile world. And so what an incredible comfort that God says this to reassure them and us. All those things of the world. It's nothing. What God promises, what God says, is really what matters, what really lasts. And maybe it's because I'm getting a little bit older, but it feels like the pace of life is just getting quicker and quicker. There's just this constant change and turmoil in the world, isn't there? Like the raging sea. There's fads and fashions, there's movements and protests, there's such moral confusion, everything's upside down. But we have this wonderful, fixed, solid rock of unchanging truth that we can stand on, we can cling to. We know that his law is true, his promises are true. He is the resting place where we can find real meaning and peace and real truth. So I've been reflecting on how wonderful God's word is, its power and how permanent it is. Peter then tells us to really put it into practice. If you look with me at how he starts this section on the word of God, it's with a command in verse 22 that we must love one another. And so everything he's telling us about God's word is to serve the purpose of calling us to love one another. That is the word of God he's really speaking about here. That's the word that these saints, when they heard this and believed it, it was part of the gospel as it first comes to them. And this is the word that they're believing as they're converted. This is the word that's purified their souls, that they will love the brethren. And since that's the word of God, this powerful, permanent word, he says, put it into practice. If that's God's word that you've heard, that was there, that at the very beginning of your Christian life, when your soul was purified, that through the Spirit, there's this word, you should love the brethren, then put it into practice. Love one another fervently with a pure heart. So that second love in the Greek, it's not obvious in English, is a command. Love one another fervently with a pure heart. Because God's word has put this new life and new nature in us. This new life within us is a life of love. It is a loving nature. As God is love and we are born again as his children, we are now to love. And again, I think the great encouragement is if it sometimes seems humanly impossible to love other Christians, they can be very different from us. They may have sinned. We might just clash sometimes. Well, the good news is we have this supernatural power within us, this working of the Word of God, this seed, this new nature. And by its power, we can love. It is the very love of Christ within us. And as Christians, we're all sharing in this nature of love. And also because God's word is permanent, this love between us as Christians is permanent. I love to think of this. We're going to live together forever in the kingdom of heaven. Made glorious. And this is the kingdom of love that matters. What we build, how we live together, how we love one another now, these are the things that will last on into eternity to come. Not the monuments people build for themselves or names over buildings. What will matter or what will last and show themselves is the acts of love that we show each other, of forgiveness and forbearance and bearing one another's burdens. It's forever. It will bear fruit forever. So therefore, we must live out this word that has come to us, that has so changed us. We should love one another fervently, which means steadily, continually, earnestly, sincerely. And so perhaps one thing that we can pray for tonight is the stirring up of this gift of love, that we'd really abound in love. And that when people might say about Bury St Edmunds Presbyterian Church, what is it about those people? What do they believe? Well, certainly one thing they'll say is, well, they love one another. And by that, they'll know that we're Christ's disciples. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Lord, when you speak, it is so awesome and powerful that you bring worlds into being. Things that were not are brought and made to be out of nothing by your powerful word. And we thank you, Lord, that your word sustains all things. And that yet amazingly, Lord, your word has become flesh and has dwelt amongst us. And we thank you for the Holy Scriptures that you have given to us. Thank you for coming down, Lord, to our level as simple children. And for speaking so clearly to us. For revealing yourself, Lord, and your love in Christ. We thank you for the powerful work of your word in our hearts, that you've brought us to this point, Lord, and for the ongoing growth that you are working into us. We pray, Lord, that this church would always be true to your word. We pray that you would keep it from ever veering into false teaching. We pray that your word would always be living and powerful here, that it might never become the preaching and teaching would never become a dead letter, void of power. But we pray, Lord, please, for the powerful working of your Holy Spirit. And we do pray, Lord, for your help to put your commands into practice. We pray that you would give us a gift of love. Lord, by your grace, may we be fervent in love for one another. And may that be to the praise of your glory. Amen.